Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please find your Bible and come with me to 1 John chapter 3. We'll start in verse 14 in a moment. 1 John 3, verse 14 will be our prelude for receiving the Lord's Supper. Of course, a few days away is Valentine's Day. And Valentine's is a wonderful holiday because it creates an opportunity for you to express love to the people around you. Maybe you're a budding poet and you write really deep, meaningful poetry like this. Roses are red, violets are pink. You can be my Valentine because you don't stink. Maybe something like that has come flowing from your pen to bless the people around you. Well, I write stuff like that to my kids, and I love Valentine's because it is that chance to express our love. Several years ago, there was this family that was visiting our church, Curtis and Erlene Hollinger. And they invited me to come over to their house, and I did. And I visited in hundreds and hundreds of homes. And you give me about 5 minutes, and the atmosphere of a house is a lot like humidity. You can feel it. It's a lot like a smell. You can smell it. If there is love and the fragrance of Jesus in a home, I instantly can detect it, and the opposite is true. Well, I walked into the Hollinger's home, and it was overwhelming. The fragrance of the love of Christ was everywhere. And they'd been married for a long time, and so I just took a moment to say, I can tell y'all have been married for a long time and you're still in love. What's the secret? And do you know what he said? He said, when we got married, we decided to make every day Valentine's Day. Every day we expressed our love one to the other. Now, that's a pretty good tip. Make every day Valentine's Day, where you're expressing your love to the people that you love. I had a dear friend named Lula Mae Culpepper, and she was one of my heroes. She was part of this church for decades, and she and I used to go visit the senior adults on Friday afternoons, and that meant we would go to a lot of funerals together. And her famous line after coming out of a funeral where good words were spoken about somebody, she would always say, "Now, Jay, you be sure to give me my flowers while I'm still living." You know what that means? Don't wait to express your love because you might not get another chance. After all, dead noses smell no roses. Dead ears will hear no cheers. So be quick to express your love. Heard a funny story about this fella. He was on his deathbed. He was about to die. The family was starting to gather. His wife was in the kitchen, and he could smell the aroma of fresh, hot chocolate chip cookies coming out of the oven. Well, this man was about to die, but they just did something to him. All of a sudden, he rallied. He summoned his strength. He went to the kitchen. He reached over to get a big hot chocolate chip cookie, and his wife saw him grab it, and she hit him on the back of the hand with a spatula and said, "Henry, put that down. That's for your funeral." Is that what you're going to do? Wait till they're dead and gone? No, there's a better way. Make every day Valentine's Day. Look for, even manufacture, opportunities to express your love. Why? Because of this passage. Listen to what 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says. "We know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But we know love by this, that Jesus gave his life for us, so we should give our lives for others." What a simple equation. What a beautiful admonition to understand that Jesus loves us and we receive that love so that we can pass it on to others. In just a moment, we will do something very, very important. We will share communion. The word communion just means what we have in common. Our ultimate common denominator is not our country, it's not our culture, it's not our college, it's not even our children. Our ultimate common denominator is Jesus Christ. And when we are connected to Him and therefore with each other, that's what we call communion. We have Him in common. So in just a few moments, we're going to take the elements of our commonness, our communion, the bread and the cup, and we will share them. Because, you see, these elements enable us to do something very important. Now, I'm talking about the love of Christ, and we can intellectualize that. More importantly, you should personalize that. He loves you. But even better than that, you should tangibilize the love of Christ. And we do so when we take the bread and the cup and when we translate His love for us into loving others and giving ourselves away in His name. So in just a moment, we will take the bread and the cup. But before we do so, let me tell you an amazing true story that illustrates 1 John 3, verse 16. There was a man by the name of Norbert Reinhardt, and he owned an oil drilling company in Oklahoma. He was able to get a contract to drill oil down in Colombia in South America. His best friend and his partner for over 20 years was a man by the name of Ed Leonard. Ed was 60 years old, and Ed was a little bit concerned about going to Colombia because he had heard that some bad things had happened to Americans. Some had gotten kidnapped for extortion purposes, and Norbert, he said, don't worry about it, Ed. You'll be fine. God's going to take care of you. And if something happens, I promise you I'll come get you. I'll take care of you, brother. So Ed Leonard went down to Colombia. He was down there about 2 months when he was indeed captured and kidnapped by a group of radicals and rebels. The word got back to Reinhardt Norbert that his dear friend Ed Leonard was now being held in the custody of these rebels, and they were demanding ransom money. So Reinhardt Norbert, he did the unthinkable. He took his backpack and he put the following items in it. He got his passport, he got his toothbrush, his Bible, his camera, and $200,000 in cold hard cash. And he told his wife, Robin, he said, I've got to go. I've got to go rescue my brother, Ed. Robin said, no, Norbert, you cannot go. You're 49 years old. You've got two young children. We just built a new home. We're enjoying all the fruits of our labors. If you love me, you just can't go. He said, honey, please, understand that I've made a promise to my friend, Ed, and I cannot leave him down there in captivity. I have got to go. He left. He got down there, and the date precisely was October the 6th that he somehow wrangled a rendezvous with these rascals who had kidnapped his friend Ed. And miraculously, they did it. They took the money. And Norbert shook hands with his friend Ed and said, Ed, your shift is over, sir. You may now go home. And he took his place. Ed left, but Norbert Reinhardt was in their captivity. Well, something amazing happened. For an unexplainable reason, after 2 months, they simply let him go. And he showed back up, and he ended up going home to Oklahoma. He made international news, and the reporters asked, why did you do it? Why did you risk your life to go rescue your friend? And he simply said, I made him a promise that if he was captured, I would come. Now, my friends, that's what Jesus did. You see, the elements of the Lord's Supper picture the extravagant love of Christ. You see, we find in Mark 10, verse 45, the very purpose statement of Jesus. Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many, to give my life as a ransom for you. Now, understand the bigger picture. You see, we are in the captivity of sin. You see, Satan himself, he has captured people with his lies, with his deception, with his darkness. And he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's captured people. And we are in deep, desperate need of a rescuer. And here comes King Jesus. I have not come to be served, but to serve. And to do what? To give my life as a ransom for many. It's even the language of extortion. He has come to ransom us, to rescue us, to set us free. And how did he do it? You see, Norbert, he got back home after the exchange. But Jesus knew that after his exchange, he would not make it back home. He knew that he would not survive the transaction of the exchange. Because the scripture already declared in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he who knew no sin would become sin on our behalf, that we could be made right with God. He knew what was coming. He knew that God was expressing his amazing love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ would die for us. That's why 1 John says it so beautifully, so succinctly. How do we know what love looks like? Love looks like the cross, because that is where Jesus laid down his life for you. So in just a moment, we will take up the cup and the bread. But I urge you not to take the Lord's Supper. Let it take you. Let it take you into the presence of God and give you a new, clear, and fresh understanding of what the Lord Jesus has done on your behalf. He gave himself to ransom you. Stuart and James, would you please uncover this table? This is the Lord's table. And at our church, we have an open communion. That simply means that anybody, not just members of this church, but anybody who has given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are invited to participate. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians that before we engage in receiving the Lord's Supper, we should be sure that our heart has been cleansed. Because if we take the Lord's Supper in a meaningless fashion, a flippant fashion that disrespects what the Lord has done for us and dishonors him by being thoughtless, that we basically hurt ourselves. So let's take a step of protection, and that comes through prayer. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we come before you very intentionally right now. And before we take the bread and the cup, Father, would you take us into your cleansing holy presence? Lord, turn on the searchlight of your Spirit, and if there is anything in our hearts and our attitudes and our relationships and our actions and our reactions that does not look like you, Father, we ask that you would rip it out. Take it out like filthy garbage from our spirit so that we can receive the bread and the cup with clean hands and hearts. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And they took the bread. We learn in Matthew 26, verse 26, that Jesus had gathered the disciples one last time in the upper room for a final debriefing. He was re-explaining to them what he was doing, that he was going to be the promised Messiah of God who would give himself on the cross so that he could pay the penalty for our sin once and for all. And as he explained these great truths to them, he made them not only personal but tangible. He took the elements of the Passover meal, which commemorated the children of Israel leaving Egypt, and he took the Passover bread and the cup, and from that moment forward, he transformed them into a memory device. I can imagine that every time the disciples picked up a piece of bread from that day forward, they took a cup, they were transported back to that room and to that moment. They were reminded of the powerful words that Jesus shared. He said, "This meal will now be a new covenant." A covenant means an agreement or a contract. And here's the new deal that I'm making with you. This piece of bread will be like my body. And my body is going to be, in just a few hours, beaten and bloodied and brutalized for you. And my blood will be shed for you. But he said, I want you to understand that this is me showing my love for you as I lay down my life to cover the penalty for your sin. Just a moment, we'll take this little piece of bread. But here's what I want you to do. Activate your imagination and imagine this little piece of bread is the bread of blessing. But take it a step farther. Imagine that it's a piece of paper and it's a Valentine's. And God has written on this little piece of a wafer the ultimate message, I love you. Now, Robert Ripley, who's written Ripley's Believe It or Not, said the most impressive love letter ever written was done by a Parisian in 1875 named Marcel Duclos. He had a girlfriend named Magdalene, and he decided in 1875 to write a love letter to her consisting of the words, I love you, 1,875,000 times. That's some fancy writing right there. And Robert Ripley said this expression of love 1,875,000 times is the greatest expression of love in human record. I would completely disagree. The greatest expression of human love occurred on a cross, not written with pen and ink, but with three nails and two boards. And it says, I love you. And if you agree, take now the bread of blessing that says, I love you. Then Jesus took the cup and he explained to the disciples that it was his blood shed for them, and they took the cup. tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, that we have a responsibility once we have received the love of Christ. Remember what it said? We know love by this, that Christ has given his life for us. Therefore, we should give our lives for others. You see, if the bread is the bread of blessing and it's God's Valentine to you, proclaiming, I love you across full, then the cup should become the cup of commitment. It's almost your opportunity to sign the contract. Imagine that this is ink, and you take that old-timey pen and dip it down into the inkwell, and you sign your part of the contract. Your part of the contract says, Jesus, count me in. I understand that you love me, and I will now become not only a recipient, but a channel for your love to go out to others in this world, others who are hurt, broken, and beaten. I will love not only my family, I'll love the unlovely. And I will do it as part of being your faithful follower. As I have received your love, I will share it with the world. And if you would take this cup of commitment as your part of the contract, I invite you to drink it now. Just a moment, we'll have a completion of this service by offering another invitation. And it's an invitation straight from the heart of God. You see, the Bible says in John 1, verse 12, as many as receive Jesus, to them he gives the ability to become children of God. It's a picture of adoption. It's a picture of what we saw when Ruthie Blakeney got baptized. It's a picture of what we see here in taking the cup and the bread and becoming grafted into the body of Christ. Could it be that you're ready to do that? Could it be that there's something right now welling up in your heart saying, yes, Lord, I don't want to go through life on my own. I'm tired of being by myself. Lord, I need you more than my next breath of air. Lord, I need you. Would you come into my life? Would you be the centerpiece of my soul? Would you exchange my death for life, my darkness for your light? Would you do that right now? And he will. He's done it for me. And he's done it for countless millions. And maybe today, right now, it's your turn. It's your opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming and I'm standing for you. In just a moment, as Ed leads us in the singing of this hymn, I invite you to set aside all doubt, fear, hesitation, summon courage, faith, and humility, and walk down one of these aisles. And as you come, the Lord will go with you as you stand for him. Could be there's somebody else here and you need to join this church family and make this your place for worship, for witness, for working for the Lord. Come aboard today. Don't delay. But here's the bottom line. Kind of like in the Hollinger's house, I would invite every one of us to make everyday Valentines where we freely express God's love to each other. Would you stand with me? Would you sing if you need to? Won't you come and meet me at the foot of his cross?
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.